भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर्वोत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं तदाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपम् साग्रजाताम् सहगणारघुनाथान्वितम् तां सजीवम् साद्वैतम् सावधूतम् परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणाललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम रामो हरे हरे।
So welcome all the devotees for the Sunday feast program. So today I have been asked to speak about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, whose appearance day was celebrated just few days back on Wednesday. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is the spiritual master of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON. It's definitely I found it a great blessing to glorify Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, although I'm definitely not qualified, but we'll try to speak some stories of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So before I begin the life of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I would like to speak a little bit about the importance of knowing the character of the devotees. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, 8th chapter, Parishit Maharaj asks a list of several questions to Sukadeva Goswami. That chapter itself is entitled Questions by Maharaj Parikshit. So he poses several questions to Sukadeva Goswami. And one of the questions, he says that Pramanam andakoshasya bahyabhyantara bedatah mahatam chanu charitam varnashrama vinishchayah. So Parikshit Maharaj asked that, please describe about the inner and outer space of the universe. Pramanam andakoshasya. Please describe about the different dimensions of the different planetary systems, the inner layers of the universe, the outer layers of the universe, along with the different divisions of the planets and the planetary systems. So, like, we can see in this particular question, Parikshit Maharaj is like very much inquisitive. Inquisitive person wants to know about how the planets move in this world. He wants to know about the different the workings of this world. He wants to know about the laws of the world. He wants to know about the maybe the origin of the living entity, origin of the universe. Somebody's inquisitive. They want to know about how different things work. But usually, although we meet some inquisitive people, but hardly we find somebody who is so inquisitive that one wants to know about the inner and outer space of the universe, the different coverings of the layers of the universe. So that requires like really a high degree of inquisitiveness. So here Parikshit Maharaj, like sometimes people think that a devotee means that he is just simply satisfied with certain sentiments. Like Prabhupada writes that those who are of the opinion that the devotees of the Lord are satisfied with mere sentiments can find in the inquiries of Maharaj Parikshit good lessons as to how inquisitive a pure devotee is to know things in their true perfection. So it is not that Parikshit Maharaj is simply satisfied with certain sentiments. He is actually really inquisitive to understand the different structure of the universe. But the interesting point is that in the same verse, after asking Sukadeva Goswami about the inner and outer layers of the universe, he asked that Mahatam Chanu Charitam. Please also describe the character of great personalities. Character of the great devotees, character of the great souls. So Parikshit Maharaj is not simply satisfied with material knowledge about the planets and the material universe. He is also inquisitive about the character and activities of the great souls, the devotees of the Lord. So this is something we can see that even Parikshit Maharaj, he wants to know about the great souls. So therefore Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, the glories of the Lord and the glories of the devotees combined together is what is called a Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but the combination of the glories of the Lord and the glories of the devotees of the Lord. So, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's one of the famous book, one of the celebrated book written by Srila Rupa Goswami. So, Rupa Goswami has mentioned different items of bhakti, different limbs of bhakti. In one particular verse, he says that all these different limbs of bhakti, which are applicable in relation to the Supreme Lord, they are also applicable in relation to the devotees of the Lord. For example, hearing about the Lord. So it is not only hearing should be applied in relation to the Supreme Lord, it should also be applied in relation to the devotees of the Lord. So therefore, it is very much important to hear about the devotees of the Lord because all of us, we need actually role models in our life. Like people have different role models, but when we have the right role models, then like the right role models, they determine the value of the society. They determine the character of the people living in the society. So therefore, it is important to hear about the right role models. So therefore, we want to hear about the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When Krishna explains in the Gita about how this knowledge has been transmitted through the Raja Rishis, so we can see that the spiritual knowledge is not transmitted simply through the scriptures, it is actually transmitted through a living tradition of people who live by the scriptures. So without the living examples of the people who live by the scriptures, the scriptural knowledge simply remains on a theoretical platform. It simply remains an abstract concept. But the living personalities, they bring life to the scriptures. They make it actually practical. They make the scriptural knowledge actually cutting edge. So therefore, we want to actually hear about the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So we will try to discuss some of the stories related to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and also we will try to see some corresponding Srimad Bhagavatam verse or from the scriptures which are in relation to the qualities exhibited by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, once he had a dream in which Lord Jagannath appeared. Lord Jagannath told Bhaktivinoda Thakur that I have not sent you to this world simply to get involved in the legal affairs, but I sent you to this world in order to propagate the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, but I am just all alone, I cannot actually propagate the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being alone. I need the help of other people. I need another empowered person who can actually help me in this mission. Then Lord Jagannath said that very soon I will actually send one of my empowered representative. I will send a ray of Vishnu as your son, and who will actually help you in propagating the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Lord Jagannath told Bhaktivinoda Thakur that you must worship Bimala Devi, and very soon you will get a son. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur worshipped Bimala Devi, and then he got a son. So because the son was actually born as a result of the worship of Bimala Devi, Bimala Devi is a deity in the Jagannath temple, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur named that son as Bimala Prasad. So when Bimala Prasad was a very small child, so at that time there was a Ratayatra at Jagannath Puri. So usually during the Ratayatra happens in one particular day. The next day Lord Jagannath is taken inside the Gundicha temple. But sometimes maybe the Ratayatra gets extended to the next day, one more day, and then the third day Lord Jagannath is taken inside the Gundicha temple. But on that particular year, Lord Jagannath's Ratayatra stopped in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, and the Ratha cart did not move for 3 days. So they did not know why the cart was not moving. And then on the third day, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he brought his small child, Bimala Prasad, to the Ratha cart. So when he brought the small child to Ratha cart, so at that time the garland from Lord Jagannath's body, it actually fell on the small child. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he actually got a confirmation that this particular son is the son who is actually sent by the Supreme Lord. So we can see that right from the birth, there was actually an indication that Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur is an empowered representative of the Supreme Lord. And there is another very beautiful pastime. Once Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he brought some mangoes to the home. So at that time, the Vimala Prasadi, he actually started eating those mangoes. He was just a 4-year-old boy. He started eating those mangoes. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that, don't you know that these mangoes were not yet offered to the Lord Jagannath? How can you eat these mangoes when they are not yet offered to the Supreme Lord? So then, Bhaktivinoda Vimala Prasad, at that time, as a small child, he actually took a vow that because I have offended the Supreme Lord by eating something which is not offered to him, I take a vow that I will never eat mangoes. So, like, throughout his life, he actually maintained that vow. In fact, even when he was actually grown up and somebody would come and bring some mangoes, Saraswati Thakur would say that actually I am an offender of the Lord, so I cannot eat these mangoes. So usually we see, as a small children, they are usually in the Annamaya Kosh. There are 5 coverings of the living entity: Annamaya Kosh, Pranamaya Kosh, Manomaya Kosh, and Jnanamaya Kosh, and Anandamaya Kosh. So Annamaya Kosh, on the level of Annamaya Kosh, like small children, they see everything in terms of food. Whatever you give them, they actually, they try to put in the mouth, whether it is actually tasty, whether it is edible or not. So small children, they see everything in terms of food, but usually they don't have actually understanding of like higher principles. What to speak of some principles on the level of Anandamaya Kosh. Anandamaya Kosh is the highest development of consciousness, where a person understands oneself to be the servant of the Supreme Lord. So, but this Vimala Prasad, even though he was a small child, he actually considered himself to be an offender of the Lord, and then he took a vow never to eat the mangoes, and he maintained that vow. So we can see from this particular small story, we can learn the lesson of determination. We can learn the lesson of determination. So determination, Krishna talks about vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana bahushaka hyanantasya buddhayo avyavasayina. Krishna talks about how one should be one-pointed in his determination to serve the spiritual master. So, and then another time when Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur, Vimala Prasad, was 7 years old, so he went to the temple of Lord Jagannath. So there, in Garuda Stambha, you can see the fingerprints of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when he saw the fingerprints of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he composed a Sanskrit verse glorifying the lotus footprints of Lord Chaitanya. So even as a seven-year-old boy, he actually could compose a Sanskrit verse. In fact, at the age of 7, he memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita, and he was able to explain the Siddhanta of the Bhagavad Gita. So these are certain uncommon, like superhuman features, which is not usually found in. Like sometimes we see certain news that at the age of 7 somebody made an app, saw some news, something. So somebody made a mobile application, and then in some other news I saw that some 7-year-old child or 8-year-old child, that because that was the child has made an app, he was looking for a job, and he wrote a message to some Google CEO that I want to join Google. But the CEO wrote that, okay, you first complete your studies and then join. So usually nowadays, like such kind of children who write some apps at the age of 7 or 8 are considered to be some superhuman children. But actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur exhibited real supernatural feats by being able to actually compose Sanskrit verses, being able to memorize Bhagavad Gita and being able to explain Bhagavad Gita even at the age of 7. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, well, there are several pastimes connected with how he was actually very much against deviation. Once there was one Babaji who came to meet Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So that Babaji offered obeisances to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in return, he also offered obeisances. And then that Babaji told Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "You offered obeisances to me, but your son did not offer obeisances." So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "The reason is that my son does not tolerate Sahajiyas. He does not offer obeisances to Sahajiyas. So that is why he did not offer obeisances to you." So Sahajiyas means what? Sahajiyas means those who take spiritual life very cheaply, or those who consider the pastimes of the Supreme Lord with His consort, those who actually take the Radha Krishna pastimes to be something very cheap. They try to imitate those pastimes and they try to pose themselves as if they are very familiar with those pastimes. They try to actually portray themselves as if they are actually very much in touch with the deepest confidential truths and the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Bhaktitirtha Maharaj explains a simple point in regards to Sahajiyas. Sahajiyas, they basically want a salary without work. They don't want to, they want to get realization, but they don't want to commit themselves. They want realization of the scriptural knowledge, but they don't want to commit themselves to the practices of sadhana bhakti. They want to experience the ecstasy which are described in the scriptures, but they don't want to dedicate themselves to the process of sadhana bhakti. So they want ecstasy, they want the experience of ecstasy, but without dedication. They want realization without commitment. They want salary without work. So in order to realize, one has to commit oneself to the practice of sadhana bhakti for a lifelong. In the sense, sadhana bhakti, of course, sadhana bhakti can be practiced. It's not that it can be practiced at your home in any walk of life. That means sadhana bhakti involves like chanting a prescribed number of rounds, or if somebody cannot take up to the regular practice of sadhana bhakti, at least one can actually work for Krishna. Whatever propensities one has, one can actually utilize those propensities in the service of the Lord. In that sense, basically using our body, mind and words, either directly taken to the process of sadhana bhakti, or whatever talents we have, whatever energy we have, using that energy in the service of the Lord. Or Krishna says that if somebody cannot do that, one can sacrifice one's energy for some good cause. So essentially, but the point is that in order to experience the ecstasy or in order to realize the knowledge, one has to commit oneself to the process of sadhana bhakti. But the attitude of Sahajiyas is that they want the ecstasy without the commitment and dedication. And they pose themselves as if they are advanced,
although they fail to follow certain basic moral principles. Gaur Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj would actually explain that suppose if a woman cries out of labor pain, and although she is not pregnant, but if she simply cries out of labor pain, posing herself to be as if having labor pain, simply by that she cannot actually give birth to a child. But she is actually not pregnant. So simply by acting herself like as if having a labor pain, she cannot give birth to a child. So similarly, he would tell about the Sahajiya, simply by actually imitating the symptoms of an advanced devotee, one cannot actually get the love for the Supreme Lord. So therefore, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur, even as a small boy, he would not tolerate the Sahajiyas. He would not tolerate any deviation. So Saraswati Thakur would say that I am born in a Karkata Lagna. I am like a crab. Wherever I find a deviation, I immediately catch that person. So in one of the Vyasa Puja ceremony of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one disciple composed a verse in glorification of Saraswati Thakur that later became the Pranati Mantra, one of the Pranati Mantra of Saraswati Thakur. So that mantra is that, Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dina Tarine Rupanuga Viruddhapa Siddhanta Dvantaharine. Rupanuga Viruddha Apasiddhanta Dvantaharine. So Saraswati Thakur, Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dina Tarine, he appeared in order to propagate the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu out of great compassion. And Saraswati Thakur would not tolerate any deviation, any Siddhanta which is a deviation from the Siddhanta of Srila Rupa Goswami. Rupanuga Viruddhapa Siddhanta Dvantaharine. In fact, we will discuss this particular theme in a little more detail. But before that, there are other pastimes. There are some pastimes in relation to how the purity of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how they were so pure that they had the capacity to deliver even ghostly living entities. Once Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he took his sons on a yatra to Navadvip Dham. So they were staying at a particular house. And then next day, the villagers, they became surprised and they came to Bhaktivinoda Thakur that how is it that you stayed in this particular house and that this particular house is actually known to be a ghostly haunted house? How is it that you actually stayed here like peacefully? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that I actually chanted the holy names, and this particular ghost was a Brahma Rakshasa and he was delivered by the chanting of the holy names. Then the villagers asked that, this is the Brahma Rakshasa. How is it that this particular person, if he was a Brahmana previously, how is it that he became a ghost? The Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that this particular person was a Brahmana, but he committed offenses and he committed different sinful activities. So because he committed offenses to the holy name, and therefore he became a Brahma Rakshasa. But by the chanting of the holy names, he became delivered. And there was another story. Once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was sitting in a room, and then one of his disciples was also sitting next to him, and then he was sitting at a distant place, and then he was actually reading something. So suddenly he saw a hand appearing. He just saw a hand, and this particular disciple, he became afraid, and then he shouted, and then he fainted. And then Saraswati Thakur came and woke him up, and then he asked him like, What did he actually shout? He said, I saw a ghostly person, I saw only a hand. So Saraswati Thakur said that you could have chanted the holy names of the Lord. Why did you simply shout out of fear? Why did you not chant the holy names? So at least next time when you see, you chant the holy names of the Lord. Then again the second time it happened and this disciple chanted the holy names and then he became afraid and he fainted. Then Saraswati Thakur again woke him up and then he said that you chant the holy names and also you recite the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The third time when he saw the hand, then Saraswati Thakur came there and then he started chanting the verses of the Bhagavatam and then the ghost was delivered. Of course, these are some exciting stories, but this shows that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, when Parishit Maharaj meets Shukadev Goswami, Parishit Maharaj glorifies Shukadev Goswami by saying, Yesham samsmaranat pumsam sadya shudyanti vaigriha kim punar darshanas parisha pada shaucha sanadibihi. So Parishit Maharaj says that simply by our remembering you, our houses become instantly sanctified, and what to speak of seeing you, touching you, or washing your feet, or by conversing with you, how much more we will become purified. And then he says that sannidhyate mahayogin patakani mahantyapi sadyo nashyanti vaipumsam Vishnu riva suretara. Just as the atheist cannot remain in the presence of the Supreme Lord, so similarly the invulnerable sins of a man, or Prabhupada writes that similarly the ghostly sins of a living entity are immediately vanquished in the presence of the devotee of the Supreme Lord. In this way, Parishit Maharaj glorifies Shukadev Goswami. So Prabhupada writes in that purport that it is said that a ghost cannot remain as soon as the holy name of the Lord is chanted. So similarly, that the ghostly sins are at once vanquished in the presence of a devotee of the Supreme Lord. So here we see that these great acharyas, they had the power to deliver even the ghosts. Of course, simply delivering the ghost is not there. That is something, one aspect of their purity. But the Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they made a blueprint for delivering all the ghostly living entities who will take birth in the Kali Yuga in the future. In fact, all the living entities, Srila Rupa Goswami, he talks about that there are two obstacles in the path of devotional service. Bhukti, mukti, spruha, hina. He explains that the desire for enjoyment and the desire for liberation, they are compared to the ghosts. They are compared to the ghosts which actually haunt a living entity. So when a person is haunted by a ghost, a person forgets his real identity, and he actually acts in terms of the ghostly living entity which has actually haunted him. He forgets actually who he is. He may speak in terms of that particular person. So similarly, when the living entity is haunted by these two desires which are compared to the ghost, what are the two desires? The desire for enjoyment and the desire for liberation. So when a living entity is haunted by these two ghosts, then a living entity forgets his real goal of life, that is to actually pursue devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So in order to deliver the living entities from the haunting of these two ghosts, that the desire for enjoyment and the desire for liberation, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they made a blueprint as how the Krishna consciousness should be propagated in the future. So that is in one sense a greater achievement than simply delivering the ghost. Because these stories are exciting, but to deliver the ghostly living entities will be haunted by the ghosts of the desire of liberation, the desire for enjoyment, and that is actually much greater achievement of Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, as I mentioned, that one of the important quality of Bhaktivinoda Saraswati Thakur is that he actually never tolerated deviation. He couldn't actually tolerate any deviation. So once, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur, he was actually studying in a school. When he was studying in a school, there was a British teacher. So this British teacher, his name was Mr. Little. So he asked the students that, how many of you know Bible? So then, practically, none of the students, most of the students were coming from the Hindu background. They were never read Bible. So, because the British teacher asked this question so that he can actually speak about the Bible. So most of the students actually said that none of them actually raised that we don't know, we have not read anything about the Bible. So at that time, so Bimala Prasad, he spoke up. He stood up and then he said, in your Bible, the concept of God, which is mentioned in the Bible, is that people pray to the God that give me your daily bread. This kind of concept is presented. This kind of actually prayers are mentioned in the Bible. So this kind of prayer, which is mentioned in the Bible, give me your daily bread, it is actually similar. It resembles the Shakta worshippers of Hinduism. In fact, this kind of prayers, they are like the Shaktas which are found in Bengal, who approach the Supreme Lord for getting something material from the Lord. But this is not the highest actually, this is not the highest purpose of actually approaching the Supreme Lord. So when he spoke with great conviction, this teacher was completely surprised. So Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur, even as a small child, he actually condemned the principle of approaching God for getting something from the Supreme Lord. In fact, that is how the Srimad Bhagavatam begins. Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam. So Dharma Projita Kaitavotra, that means all kinds of cheating religions are kicked out by Srimad Bhagavatam right at the very beginning. So right at the very beginning, Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out all kinds of cheating religion. So Srila Jiva Goswami mentions that, what is this Kaitava Dharma? There are so many Kaitava Dharmas are there, but he says that even if a person has one desire apart from the desire to please the Supreme Lord, then also he is practicing cheating religion or Kaitava Dharma. In that sense, he gives a strong definition of actually pure devotional service. Yeah, although practically most of us, from that point of view, yeah, we may be in the level of cheating religion, but at least we can actually understand what is the highest standard which is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So although the Srimad Bhagavatam talks, it actually establishes the Siddhanta, in such a perfect manner by kicking out all kinds of cheating religion, but the same Srimad Bhagavatam is encouraging everyone to approach the Lord. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena ejeta purusham param. Whether a person is filled with all kinds of desires or free from desires, or a person is having desire for liberation, one should perform intense devotional service to the Lord. In that sense, Bhagavatam is establishing the highest Siddhanta It is enlightening people by establishing the highest Siddhanta, but at the same time, Srimad Bhagavatam is encouraging people from all levels. So there is an enlightenment which is accompanied with encouragement. So it is not that because I have so many desires, that doesn't mean that we can't approach the Lord. So anybody can actually come to Krishna, one can actually approach the Lord. So Saraswati Thakur, even as a small child, he actually spoke against the cheating religion. Approaching God to get something material is not the high class religion. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he writes in one of his purports, he says that he mentions that sometimes that the small cub of a lion, when the small cub of a lion, when the cub sees the elephant, it starts attacking the elephant. So, although the elephant is actually large, elephant is much more powerful compared to the small cub, but the small cub, as soon as he sees the elephant, he will jump on the elephant. And the cub will not see its own strength. I don't have so much of strength to fight against the elephant. It will start like attacking the elephant because of its instinct. Even if actually others come and try to tell the cub, no, you can't actually fight against the elephant, but still the small cub will not actually agree with the opinion of others. It will start attacking the elephant. So similarly, he says that same analogy will be extend, that he, in the case of Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur, he was like acting like a small cub of a lion. So just like a cub of a lion, whether it sees a small challenge or a big challenge, immediately it starts actually attacking. So similarly, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur, although he was only a small boy, and here there was a educated British teacher, even as a small boy, he would immediately actually speak up against the deviation. He would immediately speak up against the Apasiddhanta. He would not think that, I am just a small boy. So in that sense, we can see that Saraswati Thakur exhibited this particular quality of being against the Apasiddhanta, deviation, in a very strong manner. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto, there's a verse which comes that, in which Narada Muni speaks about the 5 types of adharma. He says that, vidharma paradharmascha abhasa upamachala adharma shaka panchema dharmagyo dharma vityajet. So the 5 types of adharma are vidharma. Vidharma means religious principles that obstruct one from following one's own religion is called vidharma. Paradharma means practicing somebody else's religious principles, or practicing those principles for which one is not qualified. That is called as paradharma. And another type of pretentious religious principle is called as abhasa dharma. Abhasa dharma is a pretentious type of religion where a person externally poses oneself to be religious, but actually internally he doesn't follow many of the principles. And then chala dharma is a type of cheating religion. And upadharma, chala dharma, in which like people actually misinterpret the scriptures. So in that sense, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he did not tolerate any of these 5 types of adharma, especially which is against the pure devotional service. So just like even one may think like why one is actually. Why was he behaving like such a strong fanatic? It seems that he is so rude, and one may think like that. But we find even in this world, sometimes so there are some court case happening between, like, say Apple company, they put a court case against the Samsung, because they said that, oh, this Samsung, they have actually copied the model from our phones. So therefore, they put a court case against the Samsung, and then they won the case. So there is a, like, even in this world, suppose somebody from Ulasnagar, he makes a mobile phone. And then he makes a, in the cover of the mobile phone, he puts the Apple logo. And somehow he sends the mobile phone to the showrooms, and then people start buying those mobile phones, thinking them to be like iPhone. And then when they come to know that this is not iPhone, but it is something from Ulasnagar. So then immediately, will those people actually keep quiet who got cheated by those actually mobile phones? Or the makers of the original iPhones, will they keep quiet when somebody actually use their logo to give some substandard product and then in that way make money? Will they keep quiet? So somebody, so just like in this world, like somebody who is like these makers of these phones or makers of the different this one, they don't keep quiet when somebody tries to use their logo, somebody tries to actually propagate some other, use their logo to actually give some substandard product. So similarly, and somebody who is actually rooted in the true principles of dharma, somebody who is rooted in the true principles of pure devotional service, when he sees something deviant, he cannot tolerate it. So he cannot tolerate it. So therefore, he, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, even as a small child, he would actually speak against the deviation. So another time, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he would actually try to make connection with different intellectuals. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would speak straight. So once there was a famous personality in Bengal, Ishwara Chandra Vidyasagar. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had friendship with him. So once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he went to meet Ishwara Chandra Vidyasagar. So Ishwara Chandra Vidyasagar, like there was some group of students, and then Ishwara Chandra Vidyasagar was giving a talk. So he was telling that that the reason why I don't speak about God is that I have not experienced God. I have not experienced God, so therefore I don't speak about God. So I only speak about the some moral principles from the scriptures. I want to speak directly about God. Because suppose after death, if you see God, and then what I have told you about God, if that is contradicting with your experience of God, then I will be simply considered as a cheater. And then for my cheating, God will punish me. So therefore, that is why I don't directly speak about God. I only speak about some moral principles. So other students, they felt, oh, what a honest teacher. He's such a straightforward, honest man. So they were appreciating him. So that time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he spoke up. He was a small student that time. He said that, in one of your book, you have mentioned that like in one of your book you mentioned that you have told about the Nirakar Rupa of the Supreme Lord. You have mentioned that the absolute truth is Nirakar, that means he is formless. So if you have not experienced the absolute truth, how can you say that the absolute truth is formless? So when he mentioned this point, then that person, like he quoted that reference and he mentioned that, and that person was speechless. Like he became completely embarrassed in front of the other students. So Saraswati Thakur, he could not tolerate, because he could not tolerate any deviation. Like we can see Jiva Goswami in his Bhagavad Sandarbha, he actually establishes in such a firm manner how the Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan aspect is superior to the Brahman feature. In fact, he establishes this in such a solid manner by quoting so many references, that like there is no way that a person can find some other argument to justify that Brahman aspect is superior to the Bhagavan aspect. So, because the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, they have exhibited such great loyalty to the principle of the Shastra. They have established the Siddhanta of the scriptures by showing the superiority of Bhagavan over the Brahman feature. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, being loyal to the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, he actually said that how can you, if you have not experienced God, how can you talk about how the Lord is actually Nirakar? So in this way, he challenged the Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar. So another time, Saraswati Thakur met Rajaram Mohan Roy. So Rajaram Mohan Roy, yeah, we might have studied in our history textbooks. So Rajaram Mohan Roy, I think he founded the Arya Samaj. He was also against the Sati. He banned the Sati thing. And then, so he, when Saraswati Thakur met him, he said, in your bhajan, you have written that Nirakara Tomara Charana Deki. In that bhajan he has written that, O Supreme Lord, you are formless and I have seen the leg of you. I have seen the feet of you, but you are formless. So Saraswati Thakur pointed out that what kind of an absurd contradiction. You are saying the Lord is formless and how can you talk about the feet of the Supreme Lord? So in this way, that Saraswati Thakur was actually very much against the deviations. Now another time when Saraswati Thakur, when he was learning Sanskrit, he was learning Sanskrit from a grammar teacher called as Pandit Prithvishwar Sharma. So this teacher was actually teaching him from the Siddhanta Kaumudi, which is considered to be one of the authentic Sanskrit books. So when he was teaching, so Saraswati Thakur, usually it is said that in order to master Sanskrit, it would require actually 12 years. But he mastered the Sanskrit grammar in just in 3 months. And this particular grammar teacher, he started teaching the concept of sandhis, how the words can be joined, what are the different rules involved in joining of the words. And usually this particular subject, would take actually many days and many months together, but Saraswati Thakur mastered that subject just in 3 days. So then this grammar teacher, he was actually taken aback, and he said that you cannot learn grammar in such a fast manner. You must actually study the grammar throughout your life. When you study the Sanskrit grammar throughout your life, then you can attain liberation. When Saraswati Thakur heard this, he said, what you said, the purpose of grammar is to study, to get liberation. He said, if the purpose of grammar is to study liberation, to attain liberation, then I reject this grammar and reject you as the teacher. So that means, Saraswati Thakur actually, he could not accept the fact that the purpose of studying the Sanskrit, the purpose of studying the scriptures is not to simply attain liberation. The purpose of studying the scriptures is to ultimately to surrender to the Lord. So Krishna explains this in the Uddhava Gita. Krishna says that, Shabda Brahmani Nishnato Na Nishnayat Pare Yadi Shramastasya Shramafalo Yadenum Iva Rakshataha. He says that, if by a meticulous study of the scriptures, If a person becomes expert in the meticulous study of the scriptures, but if a person makes no endeavor to fix one's mind at the supreme personality of Godhead, then all one's endeavor to study the scriptures is simply like that of a man who works very hard to take care of a cow that gives no milk. So of course, the point here is not to emphasize the point that one should not take care of a cow that gives no milk. That is not the point, because we should take care of the cow, even if the we should take care of the cow not with the fruity mentality, whether the cow is going to give milk or not. That is not the point. That should not be the right. That's not the right attitude. Yeah, we should try to serve the cows without expecting anything from the cow, seeing it as a mother. But here the analogy is used that because to take care of a cow, it requires a huge effort. You need to have a grazing ground, or you need to buy the fodder from outside. And in order to have the grazing ground, you have to have the fence to protect the grazing ground from the other animals. You have to have the fence. And in this way, it requires a huge effort to actually take care of the cow. But after putting so much of effort, if the cow does not give milk, so what is the use? So similarly, the analogy is that if a person studies the scriptures thoroughly, but after studying the scriptures, after putting so much of effort to study the different Sanskrit grammar, Nyaya, Mimamsa, etc., but if a person does not fix one's mind on the Supreme Lord, what is the use of simple study of the scriptures? So this is what Krishna speaks in the Uddhava Gita, and Saraswati Thakur exhibits this particular Siddhanta. That is why when we study the lives of the Acharyas, the scriptures actually become alive. The principles in the scriptures, they are exhibited through the lives of the scripture, the lives of the Acharyas. The same, Krishna also explains that a man is certainly most miserable who takes care of an unchaste wife, who takes care of a body that is totally dependent on others, or who takes care of useless children who actually indulge in so many immoral activities, or who takes care of, who is trying to maintain a wealth which is not utilized for the right purpose. So a man who is actually, who is spending his energy to maintain the wealth which is not utilized for the right purpose, or who is actually trying to take care of an unchaste wife, so such a man is actually condemned. His effort is actually considered useless. So similarly, a person who simply studies the scriptures, but not for the purpose of fixing the mind of the Supreme Lord, such a person's effort to study the scriptures is considered useless. So Saraswati Thakur immediately revolted against this grammar teacher. How can you say that the study of the grammar is just to simply attain liberation? So, we'll take few more pastimes. So Saraswati Thakur, in 1900, he approached his spiritual master Gaur Krishodas Babaji Maharaj for initiation. So Gaur Krishodas Babaji Maharaj, he was the personification of Vairagya. He would simply take pleasure in chanting the holy names of the Lord. And he had no interest in accepting somebody as a disciple. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was like repeatedly approaching Gaur Krishodas Babaji Maharaj. In fact, Gaur Krishodas Babaji Maharaj was not learned in the scriptures. Saraswati Thakur was a highly scholarly Vaishnava, but Gaur Krishodas Babaji Maharaj was actually, he would only sing the bhajans of Narottam Das Thakur. He would say that you can get the conclusions of the entire Vedic scriptures simply by studying the songs of Narottam Das Thakur. which are composed in two books, Prarthana and Sharanagati. Prarthana, yes. That's why in the Srimad Bhagavatam it's explained that Anyonyam Asit Sanjalpa Kauravendra Purastrinam. Anyway, this verse comes in Krishna's entrance into when Krishna was departing from Hastinapur to Dwaraka. That time the ladies of Hastinapur, they went to the top of the palace and then they started speaking about Krishna in some simple language. So the talks of the ladies about Krishna, that was more attractive than the Vedic hymns chanted by the Brahmanas in proper rhythm. So there Prabhupada writes in that purport. So these ladies were not highly scholarly. They just spoke about Krishna directly in simple language. But that was more attractive than the Vedic hymns recited by the Brahmanas. So similarly, the songs of Narottam Das Thakur are written in simple Bengali language, but they contain the essence of the Vedic scriptures. So Gaur Krishna Das Avaji Maharaj would simply take pleasure in actually reading, singing these bhajans of Narottam Das Thakur. But Saraswati Thakur was a highly scholarly Vaishnava. But he wanted to take initiation from Gaur Krishna Das Avaji Maharaj. So usually, scholarship and submission go ill together. So somebody who is highly scholarly may not want to be submissive, and what to speak of being submissive to a person who has not studied the scriptures, who is practically illiterate, who has not studied Sanskrit. But here we see Saraswati Thakur's quality that he was highly scholarly, but he submitted himself in front of Gaur Krishna Das Avaji Maharaj. But he would repeatedly approach, but Gaur Krishna Das Avaji Maharaj said that, I will actually call Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in my dream, and then if Mahaprabhu appears in my dream, and if he says, then I will give you initiation. The next day, Saraswati Thakur went to him and then he asked that, did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear in your dream? He said, yeah, Mahaprabhu appeared in my dream, but I forgot to ask him. It was a long pastime that how Saraswati Thakur repeatedly approached. In fact, he felt himself, this life is completely useless without getting the shelter of Gaur Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj. And then finally, Gaur Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj actually gave initiation to Saraswati Thakur. But essentially, this particular pastime shows that how Saraswati Thakur submitted himself to Gaur Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj, how his scholarship and submission, both these qualities are actually there, which are usually not found together in a particular person. So once Saraswati Thakur was traveling in a boat, so that time somebody asked him that your Guru Maharaj, Gaur Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj, he is simply a bhajanandi. But whereas you are a Goshtyanandi. Bhajanandi means one who simply takes pleasure in doing bhajan. But whereas you are a Goshtyanandi, you travel to different places and then you actually, you teach Krishna consciousness to different people. It seems that your Guru Maharaj. There is a difference in the moods. There is a difference in the style between yourself and your spiritual master. Can you please resolve this contradiction? So Saraswati Thakur explained, actually there is absolutely no contradiction. So he gave a spontaneous example, just like we are going in this boat. So externally the boat, we see the huge structure of the boat. But what is actually moving the boat is the engine which has a battery. The engine which has a battery that is fit into the boat, that is not usually seen by the people. But that is what actually making the boat move. So similarly, I am externally seen to do many things, but what is making me do all these things, what is making me teach Krishna consciousness and transform so many people is the inspiration coming from Gaur Krishnadas Abhaji Maharaj. The entire power is coming from the chanting of the holy names performed by Gaur Krishnadas Abhaji Maharaj. He simply remains in one particular place. He stays in one particular place. He simply chants the holy name. But his pure chanting of the holy name, that is only making me do all these things. In this way, Saraswati Thakur gave full credit to Gaur Krishnadas Abhaji Maharaj. So this is another beautiful quality, that when a person is seen to do many things, but when a person can tend to think himself to be the doer, and one may forget the superiors from whom one is actually getting the power to do those things. So we see that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in many places, that when the sages of Naimisharanya, when they glorify Suta Goswami, they tell Suta Goswami, you please go on narrating the Srimad Bhagavatam. That time, they glorify Suta Goswami. Suta Goswami says, Aho vayam janma vritadya hasma, vriddhanu vridyapi viloma jata, daushkulya madim vidunoti shigram mahattamanam abhidana yoga. So he says that actually, I am just born in a low family. I am just born in a mixed family. I'm not born in a Brahmin family. I'm just born in a mixed caste. But although I was born in a only mixed family, but I have become elevated in my birth. All my disqualifications due to birth have been eradicated because of serving the great souls and because of conversing with the great souls, or because of hearing from the great souls. Actually, I am a low class person, but whatever qualification I have got is because of my connection with the great souls, because of my connection with the spiritual master Sukadeva Goswami. Because of hearing from him, that is why I have become qualified to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. In that sense, we find that here also Saraswati Thakur gives his full credit to Gaur Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. So there is another instance. Once Saraswati Thakur was explained to his disciples that my spiritual master Gaur Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj gave me 3 instructions. The first instruction he gave me was, do not make any disciples. The second instruction he gave me was that do not associate with anyone. Because Gaur Krishnadas Abhaji Maharaj himself would be, he would simply do bhajan. He would not actually associate with the materialistic people. So therefore he gave a similar instruction, do not associate with anyone. And then he said, do not go to the Maya Nagari. That means he mentioned that do not go to Calcutta. He meant cities, or he meant the Maya Nagari. Just stay in Navadvip, Mayapur. Just do your bhajan. Then the disciples, when they heard this, that they became actually, they said that your spiritual master gave me these 3 instructions, but you did exactly opposite to what your spiritual master told. You have made so many disciples, and you traveled to so many cities, and you have come to Calcutta, you traveled to so many cities, and you associate with so many people. Can you please explain that, how did you follow the instruction of your spiritual master? Then Saraswati Thakur said, actually I have followed all the 3 instructions. He said, I did not make any disciples. In fact, I consider all of you not as my disciple, I consider all of you as a representative of my spiritual master. I consider that all of you have been sent by my guru so that I can serve you. In that sense, Saraswati Thakur said, I did not make any disciples because I consider you as the representatives of my spiritual master. And then he said that when you talk about association is Like, I did not take anyone's association. I did not associate with anybody. In fact, when I go to people, I only give Krishna to others. Because I give Krishna to others, I am not associating with their materialistic consciousness. In that sense, because I am not associating with the materialistic consciousness, I only give Krishna Katha to them, so therefore I followed the instruction of my spiritual master. And then he said that, when I go to, I don't come to Calcutta, I come to Gaudiya Math in Calcutta. And Gaudiya Math, because the Radha Krishna are present here, it is not part of the Maya Nagari, it is actually part of the spiritual world. So wherever I go to actually the Gaudiya Math centers. In that sense, I followed the instruction of spiritual master. So here we see another quality of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how he was a Saragrahi Vaishnava. So there are two kinds of Vaishnavas, or two kinds of people, Saragrahi and Bharavahi. So Saragrahi means one who is focused on the essence, and Bharavahi, Saragrahi Vaishnava is like a swan-like Vaishnava. A swan-like, swan actually separates the milk from the water and it only drinks the milk. So Saragrahi Vaishnava is focused on the essence. Bharavahi person is like an ass-like person. So Bharavahi person, he may know many scriptural statements, he may have lot of information, but he does not know the essence of the scriptures. He simply is carrying the different load of the information of the scriptures, but he doesn't focus on the essence. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that materialistic people, the karmis and the jnanis, they have lot of information on material knowledge or even the scriptural knowledge, but because they don't know the essence of the scriptures, they are called as the Bharavahis. But whereas the Vaishnavas, they are actually Saragrahis. Even Parishit Maharaj was also a Saragrahi Vaishnava. Nanudveshti Kalim Samrat Saranga Iva Sarabhuk Kushalani Ashu Siddhyanti Netarani Kritaniyat. Prabhupada writes that Parishit Maharaj was a realist. Like the bees, who only accepts the essence of a flower. The bees are focused on the essence of a flower, the nectar in the flower. So similarly, Parishit Maharaj, although Kali was filled with so many oceans of bad faults, but Parishit Maharaj focused on the one good quality of Kali. That Kali Yuga is having that one good quality of chanting of the holy names of the Lord. He focused on the one good quality of Kali Yuga, and then he gave shelter to Kali personified. So in that sense, Saraswati Thakur was also a Saragrahi Vaishnava. And there's another pastime. Saraswati Thakur, before he established Gaudiya Math, he actually performed bhajan in which he chanted 1 billion holy names of the Lord. That means he chanted 192 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day for something like 10 or 11 years. And then after that, he actually established the Gaudiya Math. That's why Saraswati Thakur would say that the best bhajana, the best Goshtyanandi is the bhajanandi who preaches. So when a person who takes pleasure in the bhajan, and then when he starts preaching, that will have the great impact. So Saraswati Thakur demonstrated that quality. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, in one purport in the second canto, that the process of hearing, the process of bhajan is solidified by the process of chanting. So one who has perfectly heard from the perfect source becomes convinced about the all-pervading personality of Godhead and thus becomes enthusiastic in glorifying the Lord. So lastly, I will conclude with this point that one of the important contribution of, there are so many wonderful pastimes, one important contribution of Saraswati Thakur is that how he actually started the institution of Gaudiya Math. So previously that Vaishnavism was not spread in an institutionalized manner. It was more like there would be one acharya, he would appoint a successor, and then that person would appoint the successor. It was mainly centered around the personal purity of the particular acharya. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he actually started the institutional form of Vaishnavism. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, the fact that the Gaudiya Vaishnavism still survived, it was in one sense a miracle. Because, like normally in this world, when we see some corporate organization or some rich man, so before his death, he appoints a successor, and then he writes his will. He actually mentions how his organization should run. He makes a board of governors, or he makes a like successor to run the organization so that the legacy can go on. But in the case of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he himself did not express his will in the form of writing some books personally. He just composed 8 verses of Shikshashtakam. And Saraswati Thakur did not make any organization which will actually continue, which will actually maintain the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not write any books, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not make any organization, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he particularly did not appoint any successor. Of course, 6 Goswamis were his disciples. Particularly, he did not appoint one particular person as a successor. But still, the Gaudiya Vaishnavism survived. It was a miracle. But so one of the important contribution is that the 6 Goswamis, they wrote many books. That was the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave actually instruction to 6 Goswamis to write many books, and that actually protected the Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And Kaviraj Goswami, he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita. In that way, the Gaudiya Vaishnavism was protected. But in the case of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he realized that in order to share Krishna consciousness effectively in the long run, in order to reach out to the masses, he felt the need of institutionalization. Although he also mentioned that institutionalizing the religion, it can also sometimes obstruct the spirit of an individual. He also recognized that. It can choke up the spirit of the individuals, but then it can also give pathway, it will also help to reach out to the mass of people. So he also mentioned that institution is a necessary evil. That means like it is necessary for reaching out to the people, but there is an evil part in the sense that, there are the rules and guidelines, the different rules and regulations have to be made in order that certain deviations don't happen. So sometimes in the process of making the rules and regulations, sometimes it can, some person's creativity can be choked up, but then, there is a bad part, it is an evil, but it is a necessary. When you see the larger part of actually propagating the mission of the Lord, it is actually necessary. So, we can see about the need of institutionalization with a particular analogy. So, the spirit of the purpose of religion is to develop love for the Supreme Lord. So, we can compare the flow of our love towards the Supreme Lord to the flow of a river towards the ocean. And the institution is like the river bed. So if there is no river bed, then only those rivers which have an exceptionally strong flow will flow till the ocean. So those rivers which do not have the exceptionally strong flow may not reach till the ocean. So rivers with a weak flow will actually, being faced with many obstacles, they will become stagnated and then they will dry up. So similarly, if there is no institutional support, only those people who have got an extraordinary spiritual urge. Extraordinary spiritual urge means those who are actually searching after God. Like there are so many Srila Prabhupada's disciples, like His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, if you read the Journey Home book, how he came in search of God, hitchhiking through several countries. So such people are very rare. For most of us, devotees actually came in searching for us. So if there is no institutional support, only those people who have an extraordinary religious urge will attain love for God. But those who have an average spiritual urge, so because of being faced with many obstacles, so they will not be able to pursue that spiritual urge. So their spiritual urge will become stagnated and they may actually give up. So just like there are many tributaries of a river. So when the tributaries of the river, when they unite, then a river with a strong force starts flowing. So similarly, when people with an average spiritual urge, when they come together, they can generate a strong current. And that strong current can actually move swiftly. So Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur, he actually gave this, he started this institutionalization so that people with an average spiritual urge, their progress toward the Supreme Lord, their practice of bhakti can be facilitated through the support of institutionalization. So where there is a particular system, systematized courses, the systematic education, education is there, and then you can associate with other people, who may not be highly advanced, but they also have a spiritual urge, they also are like-minded. When we come together and they associate, then we can continue to follow the practice of sadhana bhakti in the long term. And just like when a river is flowing, so sometimes the flow of a river can be stopped by a dam. So similarly, sometimes the institution, although the institution is meant to actually reach out to the masses, so sometimes people who have a selfish interest, they can create some disturbances in the functioning of an institution. When Krishna was born, Putana also appeared to kill Krishna. So similarly, when Krishna appears in the Krishna conscious movement, there can be some Putana-like people, who have selfish interest, they can try to actually obstruct the mission of the institution. So in order to stop that, in order to protect the institution, there has to be a systematic philosophical education. There has to be systematic philosophical education so that the members can actually become aware of what is the right philosophy, who are the people who truly represent the philosophy, and who are the selfishly interested people. We can actually distinguish between the right people from the wrong people. There should be systematic philosophical education, and there should be regular spiritual practices which will generate a strong spiritual current. And which will actually expose the selfish interest of the materialistic people who may be in the institution. So therefore, in this way we see that Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur has given this institution. He gave the blueprint of the Gaudiya Math, and then Srila Prabhupada, he actually took it forward, he established the ISKCON. So some people may presume that they don't need the support of any institution. They may feel that my spiritual urge is very strong, so I may not need the support of an institution. But it can be possible that they may be overestimating themselves, or they may be underestimating the power of the Maya outside. So they may think like that. But so therefore, so their religious progress tends to be sometimes their religious progress may depend more on their inner mood. Sometimes they may have they may be highly enthusiastic. Sometimes they may not be enthusiastic. So the purpose of institution is actually to provide sadhu sangha, to provide the association of the devotees, and then so that we can systematically learn the scriptures and apply them in our own lives. In that way, Saraswati Thakur gave this so many contributions, and Srila Prabhupada, the founder acharya of ISKCON, when he came in contact with Srila Saraswati Thakur, he inspired him to preach in the English language, and because of that, Srila Prabhupada actually traveled all over the world and he established ISKCON, and because of that, all of us, we have got Krishna consciousness. In that sense, we are so grateful to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur for establishing Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta in such a strong manner, and for giving Srila Prabhupada to us. So I would like to end this discourse. I would like to express my gratitude to all of you for listening to the glories of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and giving me an opportunity to speak. So Grantharan Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
Hare Krishna. First of all, we would like to welcome all those guests who have come to our Sunday Feast program for the very first time. Sarvapratham, hum un sabhi bhakto aur atithiyon ka swagat karna chahenge jo pehli baar hamare is Sunday Feast karyakram mein aaye hain.